you can see that the appendixes are attached to your presentations for more information. So with that quick overview of the programs, the resources, I would like to introduce our next speaker, and he is David Saylor from Portland State University. David is a professor in engineering, and he is also the director of the Green Building Program at Portland State University. He has a long history of research with urban heat islands, and more recently, he has been involved in the building scale heat island reduction, and today he'll be talking about green roofs. So as David gets his presentation up on the screen, I would like to remind you to please answer your question, or please submit your questions for me and the other presenters as they come up, and include the presenter for which your question is directed. So we will have David on here shortly.
Okay, I'm here. Is my first slide of my presentation being projected?
Yes, it is, David.
Okay, I'm ready to go then. All right. So thank you for inviting me to speak today at the webinar on green roofs. It's a pleasure to be able to talk a little bit about some of the work that I've done, as well as to highlight some of the work that others have done in this field. Neelam did a really good job of giving the overview of some of the benefits of green roofs. And so the focus of my presentation is just on one aspect, which is the energy balance on the rooftop of a green roof and how it impacts both the energy consumption of the building but also the urban heat island. So I'll start by talking about the impact of green roofs on the building and its energy use. To provide some context, the building sector is responsible for something like 40% of all energy consumption in the U.S. and a similar fraction of the nation's CO2 emissions. Of this energy use, on the order of about one-third, is for heating and cooling demand in buildings. So this leads us to seek ways in which we can reduce HVAC energy use in buildings. In the context of this presentation, the natural question then is, what role can green roofs play in reducing building energy use? To answer this, we need to first consider the various factors that contribute to energy use in buildings. These include things such as indoor energy use to condition air that infiltrates the building, solar heat gain through the windows can significantly impact building HVAC loads, as windows tend to transmit on the order of 50 to perhaps 80% of the incident solar energy, conduction of heat through the walls, and then finally, conduction of heat through the rooftop. So as this inventory suggests, the green roof can play a role, but by themselves, green roofs are unlikely to make a huge dent in the building's overall energy bill. So to understand better the role of the roof in the conduction of heat into the building, I'll give a brief overview of the energy balance on a green roof. To start with, the energy provided by the sun is the major input of energy to the system. The plants then intercept and reflect some of this radiation. The radiation that makes it to the surface of the growing media is partially reflected. Some of the absorbed energy at the surface is convected away as sensible heat, and some is emitted as long-wave radiation. Some of the energy is then also converted to latent heat or evaporative cooling. Through both evaporation from the soil surface, but also from transpiration from the plant surfaces. And finally, the balance of this energy that is not taken away from that surface is conducted into the growing media and then partially absorbed by the growing media and stored in the soil. And finally, some of that actually makes its way into the building. So how does this play out in terms of impacting the rooftop surface temperatures and the heat fluxes into the building? To start with, let's consider just this simple conventional rooftop with perhaps a darker membrane. So a darker membrane during, say, a hot summer day would typically absorb quite a bit of the solar energy incident upon it, heating up to, say, 120 to perhaps 150 degrees Fahrenheit. At nighttime, however, since the membrane has relatively little thermal mass, typically above an insulation layer, it will actually emit long-wave radiation readily and cool off fairly rapidly at night. In contrast, a white roof, or what we refer to as a cool roof, will not heat up as much during the day because it reflects a much larger fraction of the solar energy. But it will also have the same sort of effect at night, where it will emit its heat out to the environment fairly readily and cool off substantially at night. So a green roof, in contrast to both the other roofs, measurements and modeling show that the surface of a green roof actually does typically remain fairly cool, like a white roof on a hot summer day. And so this means less convective heat flux into the urban environment, which of course impacts the urban heat island. Of course, the green roof has stored a great deal of that energy during the day, and as a result will stay warmer at night and possibly conduct some of the stored heat into the building and certainly convect more heat into the urban environment at night. So to illustrate these conceptual descriptions of how the green roof impacts the surface energy balance, we can look at various measurement studies. So I've compiled a few here. The first one is an example from some suite of test roofs that were conducted at Penn State University. And if you look at the trace of measurements of surface temperatures, these are all for the month of July back in 2003, summertime temperatures. And what you see clearly is that during the daytime, the roof surface is cooled substantially, say 30 to 40 degrees cooler than a traditional roof during the same time. At night, however, that's the area highlighted over here, the green roof remains warmer because, as I said, it stores more heat. In a similar sort of study at the University of Central Florida, researchers from Florida Solar Energy Center found similar results. They also measured heat fluxes in addition to temperatures and were able to show that the green roof significantly reduces conduction into the building during the day, but does result in unwanted fluxes of heat into the building at night. Again, this is due to the stored heat in the growing media. And that's shown here in this red box down below. So simple measurements of roof temperatures and fluxes do not give a complete picture of how a green roof will actually impact the energy use of a building. As this slide suggests, the rooftop heat flux interacts with things like the internal loads of the building, thermostats and occupancy schedules, infiltration and ventilation, and seasonal weather conditions. So to investigate these sorts of interactions, we found it necessary to actually develop a comprehensive model that represents the physics of what's happening on a green roof, and then integrate that with a building energy simulation model. So this green roof model that we developed includes the way in which vegetation shades the roof from solar radiation and also interacts with the long-wave radiation leaving the surface of the rooftop. It also includes the evaporative cooling effects of the green roof and the way in which vegetation affects the near-surface wind speeds and hence the convection of heat, of sensible heat into the environment. The model also captures the role of heat storage and transport in the soil that depends significantly on the level of moisture in the soil. So we developed that model and implemented it in a building energy simulation software package called Energy Plus. So as of April 2007, our model was standard in the standard release of Energy Plus from the U.S. Department of Energy. And the inputs for the model are the standard sorts of parameters that you would use in any building energy simulation software package in terms of things like building details and schedules. You need to have a weather file. But you also need the additional inputs that describe the green roof itself, the various design parameters, leaf area index, the type of vegetation, the height of vegetation, and the density, and also precipitation data and whether you're irrigating the roof. The model output then presents hourly building electricity and natural gas use. And so by integrating a physically based model and then validating it with the observed data that we found from various projects around the country, we are now able to quantitatively estimate the impact of any green roof on any building in any climate. So just as a very quick example, we've done simulations for a large number of different types of buildings. This one happens to be just a simple residential two-story building in London. If you look at the impacts in the graph in terms of the cooling electricity savings of the green roof relative to a conventional roof, of course, you see what you'd expect, which is a significant cooling energy savings in the summer. However, there's a portion of the year, in the shoulder months in particular, where the stored heat in the building actually contributes to increased electricity use for air conditioning. And if you look more specifically just at the hourly consumption over the course of a single day in, say, in June, which is shown here, even though the net effect of the green roof is clearly a reduction in electricity for cooling, it's interesting to note that the thermal mass of the roof actually leads to a small cooling penalty in the early morning hours. This is more than compensated for by the savings in the afternoon and evening hours, but it's important to recognize that you have these trade-offs going on both diurnally across a single day, but also across the season. What's particularly interesting in this example is that if you look then at the predicted annual heating energy savings of the green roof relative to conventional roof, you actually see fairly substantial gas savings, again, associated with the fact that the roof, a green roof, adds insulation in the winter. So it has benefits both in summer and in winter, in contrast to something, say, like a cool roof that would have a large benefit in summer and a small penalty in winter. That tool is great for us, but one thing that we recognized was that in order to use that kind of tool, you really need to have building energy modeling expertise, and we wanted to create a tool that was more accessible to those who are not energy modeling experts. And so we are in the process, with funding from the U.S. Green Building Council, of creating a simplified green roof energy calculator. And so what we do is we use the detailed energy model that we've developed for Energy Plus to model a large number of prototypical buildings. So far we've isolated 100 North American cities that we're looking at. And for each prototype building, we simulate a large variety of green roof implementations and also conventional and cool roof control cases to compare the performance against. And so we use the model output then to populate the database, and And we use that database then to drive this what will be a web-enabled resource, so that the user can fairly simply essentially interpolate within that database to represent the type of roof that they're interested in exploring. So switching gears now to talk a little bit about the urban heat island effect. Of course, all of this whole discussion that I'm engaging in here is focused on the energy balance of the rooftop. And so obviously the way in which a green roof impacts the building is going to impact the building energy use, but also the heat then convected into the urban environment. And so there's clearly a heat island impact potential. And so if you look at this figure here, just gives you the general sense of what the various contributors to the heat island are, and Neelam already went over this. So in particular, a green roof has the potential to provide both evaporative cooling on the building rooftop surfaces and to modify the sensible heat exchange. As I suggested, having a benefit in terms of reducing sensible heat during the day, but perhaps a penalty in increased sensible heat at night. Another thing to note is that a lot of heat island mitigation strategies focus at the near surface, whether it's paving or street trees. Both cool roofs and green roofs focus at the rooftop level, which in a city can be hundreds of feet above the ground level. And so its impact on the near surface thermal environment is not as significant. So I wanted to highlight a few heat island studies that have happened in the past decade. First one is a study that we were involved with, where we were looking at how green roofs might impact the urban heat island of the city of Portland. Specifically, the city asked us the question, what impact might there be if the entire Central East Side Industrial District were redeveloped to include 100% green roofs over the next, say, 50 years? And so what we did was we applied a regional or mesoscale atmospheric model, and the modified region in our domain is shown here with the red dashed lines. We ran this model for both a control case, but then also for a case in which every rooftop in the region was modified to be a green roof. And my video works here. You can look at the temperature perturbation associated with the green roof over the course of the day. So those contours were just 2/10 of a degree C contours. And what you find out is that in the peak of a summer day, massive greening of the rooftops in that region could reduce peak air temperatures by about 1.5 degrees Fahrenheit. Moving on to a study that was conducted by some researchers at Columbia University. Well, what they did was they used remotely sensed thermal images of the surface of New York City. They combined that with land use data to estimate the potential for green roofs to reduce surface temperatures. And what they found was that green roofs could reduce average surface temperatures by nearly 1 degree Celsius. And while this result is important, we tend to be more interested in the air temperature heat island, and their approach was not able to estimate that. So that's still a question mark in terms of their modeling. In a third study, again, this is a study somewhat similar to the one that I presented as the work that we had done in Portland. Brad Bass and colleagues at the University of Toronto and Environment Canada also used a regional scale atmospheric model. What they did, first of all, was they represented the current conditions in Toronto, sort of a baseline. Then they modified the model to include a combination of green roofs and urban vegetation. So this was not exclusively a green roof study, but rather a combination of green roofs and urban vegetation at the street level. And this figure shows, a contour plot of the temperature differences between the green case and the control. And their results suggest that the combination of both green roofs and urban vegetation could reduce urban temperatures, urban air temperatures, by 1 to 2 degrees Celsius. But what part of that was due to the green roofs is not entirely clear, because they didn't isolate the green roofs in this study. And finally, I want to sort of segue into a little discussion of some ongoing research that we have going on here at Portland State. This is an NSF-funded project that confronts the notion that the rooftop design decision is sort of an either-or issue, where you have to decide, oh, I want a green roof, or I want a white roof, or I want to put photovoltaic panels on my roof. So in this study, we're specifically looking at potential synergistic interactions between photovoltaic panels and green roofing located underneath the panel. And the basic premise is that the panel efficiency will improve as the green roof lowers the effective operating temperatures of the panel. At the same time, the shading of the panels may benefit both vegetation health and diversity, in what is otherwise a rather harsh environment on the building rooftop. And so this graphic simply suggests the energy balance that we're looking at. Some of our early model results in looking at what the rooftop design decision does to the sensible heat release into the urban environment show that, of course, a traditional roof dumps a lot of heat into the environment during the daytime on a hot summer day. Both a white roof and a green roof will dump less heat, perhaps about 50% less during the day. However, a green roof will actually store heat and release it at night. So it releases more heat at night than either a traditional or a white roof. And so here's a couple of pictures of our initial study site. We have four of these trays, each with four panels, and we've recently seeded them. We've got sedum now, or several species of sedum growing, and we're still early into the project, but should have some interesting results by the end of this summer. And so just to wrap up, just some summarizing comments, final thoughts here. The energy performance of green roofs depends upon many factors: growing media, plant coverage, plant type, building characteristics, weather conditions, which include, of course, geographical locations. Also, the green roofs not only impact air conditioning, but in many applications have even more important impacts on wintertime heating loads. I'd also like to draw attention to the fact that the energy performance depends very much on what you choose for your control or your baseline to compare them against, whether you're comparing against a traditional roof, a dark roof, or a cool roof matters. And finally, green roofs can contribute to the heat island mitigation, but this is complicated by the thermal storage issues, which result in more nocturnal heating of the urban environment than other roofing alternatives. And so, So with that, I'll conclude, and I do welcome questions, of course, at the end of the session, but also feel free to contact me by email if you have any lingering questions. That concludes my presentation.